Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
To get this grasp on who is this God that loves me. I want to take you back to a verse that actually we sang a few minutes ago. Just keep playing this for a couple of seconds or for a couple of minutes. There was this chorus in the previous song, and it said, we stand before God wrapped in his righteousness, being found faultless before God. Now, I don't know about any of you, but you know, my wife is here. And she can tell you she does not live with a faultless husband. Get the picture? She doesn't live with a faultless husband. The key is to that sentence, being found faultless before him, is the sentence before. And that sentence before is being wrapped or covered in his righteousness. You see, I'm not that good. You get that? I've already blown it if I'm supposed to be found before him completely faultless. I've already blown that. Well, the Bible says we all have. We don't any of us get out of here unscathed, do we? Because we all mess up. The Bible says in God's Word, we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's the cool. Now, that's not cool, but that's the cool part about the second part is, but we still are the heart of God. Go and have a seat. We're still the heart of God. I don't know how long I'll let you sit for, but just go ahead and have a seat for a little bit. Hey, we are the heart of God. We are the heartbeat of God. And somehow, can I just be, I mean, you know me, I'm always transparent here. I'm always trying to be as real as possible. Somehow the church for the last 2,000 years has been so divided on who this Jesus is. And I believe that we're discovering that this Jesus more and more and more is passionately in love with you and me. Got two that agree with that. I said, I believe because God's Word, if you ever get into this thing and we start reading this, it is the greatest set of love letters I've ever read. It really is. These are amazing love letters, and it is full of, hey, these things will hurt you. Don't do these things. It's also full of, do these things and it will bless you. You'll actually, you do these things and you will so abundantly multiply in the things of life. And I'm so taken back by that. God actually wants me to do well. This statement in this last chorus that you guys were singing, he holds the universe. And I love this part. And he's still blowing stinking stars. He's really, while you and I are sitting here, you know, going, we can't get our head around you, God. He's blowing another star. Oh, he names them too. Doesn't matter what we name them. He named you. Did you know that? Did you know he's got a name for you? There's this amazing truth that God, the God who created the universe, Pastor Mike probably has the best set of videos I've ever seen, Louis Giglio's videos, on just this whole thing here, just blowing stars into existence and planets and for millions of years and trillions of years. And I'm not that good at math, so I don't know what's after trillions is. Huh? a lot. You're right. I mean, it's that's the truth. This God that's been blowing for a gazillion of years, I'm just making, I don't even know if that's real. He's still blowing stars. The Creator, by the way, still making babies. Don't you love that? When he makes, no, seriously, the same God that is creating the stars is the God that gave you your babies. Your children that are in that back children's Christian Ed wing, the same God that blew that star into existence today gave you, spoke your baby into existence. And he let you be a part of that. Isn't it great? It's called the family. Now, I was going to actually speak about that today, but I want to change. I'm going to speak about that next week. So we're going to talk about the family next week. Okay, that's one of our core values. You know, we've been doing a core value series. All of our pastors are going to jump in on this. We're all doing a core value. And I was coming today fully prepared to do family. And I really want you to do this. I want you to take this to heart. And see, a lot of blue chairs today. There's a lot of our folks away. So I want to wait. I feel really challenged to wait till will you call everybody that you see a blue chair that they represent. Tell them, hey, you need to be there this Sunday. Pastor Barry's given $100 to every family that comes to church. No, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Tell them there's a message that we have for you as the family of God. And it's very important because we think sometimes we just go to church. I've got news. I'm going to talk with you next week about the role of the family. I'm talking about God's family here on earth. And I'm also going to talk to you about the role of your family, your nucleus family in your home. I want to approach two different looks at the family. God's family and the fact that we're adopted into this amazing. I've got a great adoption story for you next week. And then I want to talk with you about the fact that we have the privilege of having our own nucleus of family and how that looks before God and what He wants to do in us and through us as a family, the privilege of that and the privilege of even some of you having adoption here in your own lives. That's a beautiful picture of God's love. That's next week, okay? I just want you to just bow your heads for a moment because I want to ask God before we get into His Word this morning. I just want to ask you, Father, if you would so saturate us with your love and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness and an awareness that while you are our judge and one day you will judge us, you're also our defender. And God, if you can just saturate our minds somehow to start grasping the idea that the one who loves us most is the one who will judge us most. And Father, I ask you today that somewhere in our hearts you will ignite an amazing awareness of how much you love us. Now, we'll never get it totally because our minds are finite. But Lord, put us on the journey, if we haven't discovered yet the journey of discovering the love of God for each of us. I ask you, God, today that you will begin that journey in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Do me this one. Will you stand up and give the Lord an amazing ovation? I just happen to believe the Creator deserves an amazing ovation. Father, we worship you. Come on, give him your best. Give him your best. God, you blow us away. Father, you blow us away. Father, you blow us away. You may be seated. Give the band a hand, guys. You may be seated. We love our band, our SCRC band. Father, we love you. We love you incredibly. What is today? The 18th. I just wanted to make sure. I'm trying to figure out what date it is. I just want to kind of get my head around what the date is. My life has just been crazy over the last several weeks, and I am so excited to be with you. I'm excited to be in, and it's not just, can I just tell you this? This is not just God's house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. So let me just come back to more of a biblical, you know, when people say, I'm going to the house of God, well, let me just help you biblically. Actually, you are the house of God. You became Bethel, which is the Hebrew word for house of God. You became that when Christ died and rose from your sin. Literally, the veil in the temple was ripped in two. Check out what the Bible says. The veil in the temple, the Jewish temple, was ripped in two, and which the presence of the Holy Spirit was always behind the veil in the ark. And so that was, now that wasn't there at that time, but I mean, it was, that represented, the veil represented that. And just so you know, you became the temple of the Holy Spirit that day. You truly became the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. Now, that means you and I have a lot of responsibility as to what we do with that. Right? Well, are y'all awake? Okay, I just want to make sure. Y'all awake? Y'all with me? Okay. I want to make sure we look at something, the great responsibility that we have. I just believe that this is the most profound statement about what it means to be a Christian. And I'm talking about a true follower of Christ. I'm not talking about a Democrat that votes, you know, that goes to church, or a Republican that goes to church, or an independent that goes to church, because there's a lot of people, they're Republicans before they're Christians, and there's a lot of people that are Democrats before they're Christians. They're stuck. Here's the other one. When we do our missions trips, this is what I tell the entire missions teams. We are not Americans going to Panama or wherever God sends us. We are Christians first. Now, they'll look at us as Americans because we're gringos. But, that's not a slam. That's just the truth. They love us. It's an affectionate term with some. But anyway, with most. But we're not Americans coming first. We've just insisted that we are Christians first, Christ followers first. So turn in your Bibles to, you'll see the scripture right there, John chapter 13. I want to talk with you about the truest mark of a Christian, what it means to truly be a believer. Now, you know that I teach this. Go ahead and bring the house lights up a little bit more if you would, Beth. I want to give everybody just a little bit. It's perfect. I want to give everybody the opportunity to be able to write notes as thoughts come to your mind. I want you to be able to just start writing things, because I really want to challenge our thinking is the American church about what it means to be a Christian. I can remember sitting in Sunday school class years ago. I remember as a kid, I remember a teacher asking, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I can't tell you how many people said, well, I don't do this. I don't do that. You know what the top 10 are, right? You know what the top 10 are. You all know what the top 10 are, don't you? You know, I don't drink. I don't chew. I don't know. I don't go with girls who do. No, that wasn't it. But it was all the things you didn't do that made you a Christian. And I mean, that's what Sunday school teachers, God bless them, they meant well. They meant well for us. They didn't want us to do things that were unhealthy for us. And there was always this great fear of, we don't want you to go to hell. Thank you. I do actually appreciate that. I appreciate the sentiment that eternity matters. But you know, can I just tell you, the idea of, I just don't want to go to hell, that's why I serve God, that is a really missing the mark idea of what it means to be a Christian. So, let's see, I don't want to go to hell, so I won't do all these things. Really? Well, have you checked out the do side? Because it's an amazing do side. You will actually forget the don't side, because you'll be so consumed with the good do side. I'm serious. It's just an amazing thing. And one of the good, cool things that God gives us the privilege of is loving people. 12, 13 might. This is feedback time, okay? It's okay, all right? I mean, if y'all were raised like me, it's feedback time. If you weren't, it's feedback time. It's okay. The greatest privilege we have is to love God and to love people. Because he actually chose us. Check out the book of Romans. Check out the book of Ephesians. He predestined me to walk with him. And he called me before I was ever in the womb. That's what the Bible says. He knew my name. I think that's amazing about this God. By the way, he knows what baby you will have next year. Does that freak you out just a little bit? He knows the baby you're going to have next year. I don't get too freaked. I'm just saying, some of you, he knows that. He knows that child's name. He knows the sex of that baby. And he's already in the works of planning. That's the nature of the Creator. But he gives us this amazing revelation. This is Jesus speaking. I say this. I have actually been in the presence of more atheists recently. And by the way, I have a great respect for the atheist's right to be an atheist. I don't agree with them, but I have a great respect for everyone's right and responsibility to choose their own eternal value system. And by the way, so does God. He allows us to say no to Him. He absolutely allows, He loves us, but He allows us to say no to Him. But I've been around more atheists recently, and one of the common themes of atheism is that the root of it is, I want to be God. I want to be in charge of me. And so, it's no wonder that at this point, that this level in some lives, they want to be in charge of them because all the church people were always yelling at them about how much of a wretched sinner they were. Did you experience that too? I did. I was told when I was in, 13, I was 13, 14, 15, I was told I had sin in my life because I had long hair. Now, I'm just bringing you real stuff. I mean, it's real stuff. It's good to deal with our past. It's good to deal with the things. How many remember when it was a sin to wear long hair and a beard? Larry, you remember that? Larry's got the ponytail. You remember that? I'm serious. I have been in, quote unquote, Pentecostal churches where they were determined to get me saved. Because I had long hair. And I had a beard. And I love the Pentecostal churches. I love the Catholic churches. I love churches that teach the message of Jesus Christ. I just love the kingdom. It's a great thing that we're in. But I'm going to tell you, my own church, there were those because I had long hair. My brothers had long hair. We had beards at 14, and 15. We were somehow, we hadn't really experienced yet a breakthrough with God. And I was banned from youth camp. I told you those stories, right? I was banned from youth camp. Do I have any family in here besides my immediate family? Any of my family members show up? I mean, Ivies show up? Okay. My uncle was the camp cop. He was the one who banned me. Get that? I love this guy. He's actually he's with the Lord today. God bless him. There's lots of grace on. But that was such a deep conviction back then. And I'm going to tell you, the whole essence of evangelism back then, or outreach, or telling the world about Christ, was telling them how wretched they were. Do y'all remember that day? Seriously, rock and roll. I can remember when I was, boy, this bums me out to remember this. I can remember one year, our youth group, we didn't have youth pastors back then. We had youth sponsors. Said, I want everybody to bring your albums. We're going to have a burning of the albums. How many remember the burning of the albums? How many remember the burning of the albums? Okay, I was a part of that. And so I'm like, you know what, I was really fortunate? My brother owned most of the albums. And my brother, BJ, my older brother, if you ever knew him, he was quite the character. So he was in youth, and so he loved all of his Beatles albums. I did too. He loved all of his Jethro Tull. He loved all of his Leonard Skinner. He loved Deep Purple. Takeoff song in an airplane is Deep Purple's "Smoke on the Water." Right? You all know that. Okay. So anyway, BJ decides to go out and he buys these albums from Woolworth. Remember Woolworth? He buys these cheap band. What are the Benny Goodman band kind of stuff? He buys all these cheap albums, sticks them in the Beatles sleeves, and all these sleeves, and he takes them to the church that night, and he's like, onto the fire, and everybody's going, yes! I mean, that's how they judge whether or not we were really experiencing God. And BJ went home, he kept the jackets, went home, put the albums back in the jackets, and we've got them today. Because, you see, You see, that was the whole idea of reaching the world for Christ was about telling them what they're doing wrong. And can I tell you, I just had an experience not long ago. I want to read this to you. Jesus giving this new command. How many know that he was the one who spoke the first 10? He's the voice of God, the Bible teaches. He is the voice of God. So here we got the 11th commandment. I'm about to read to you the 11th commandment. If you never thought of it like that, I want you to grasp it. It's as serious as the first 10 in the book of Exodus. Now get this. This is under the new covenant. He is fulfilling the law. Didn't say he did away with it. He is fulfilling the Old Testament law. You and I could never do that. I mean, you couldn't spit across the street on certain days. I mean, that was the law. It was the law. Am I right? Yep. Pastor Harvey. Yep. It was the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And he's giving us this new command in the 13th chapter of John. This is Jesus, the master, speaking. And he says this. He said, a new command I give you. That's how I know it's a new command. It's the 11th commandment in my book anyway. And it's okay if you differ with me, because he commanded a lot of things. But he said, a new command I give you. Now understand, the Jews following him knew exactly what he was saying, that I have the authority to add to the first 10. That's what he was actually insisting. And by the way, for those of you, you know, I've had people tell me, a young man told me one time, he never said he was God. Oh, yes, he did. Several times. Yes, he did. Your sins are forgiven. Ooh, that's blasphemy to a Jew. Because only God, we know only God can forgive sin. So he says, a new command I give you, love one another. Let that sink in. A new command. It isn't thou shalt not. Get that. This one is, this is the mark of a true believer. And he says this, love one another as I have loved you. And by the way, the story's not yet written in here about the extent of what he would do to show his love for you and me. He dies. He lays down his life. Now, he's not talking about literally dying, though he could be at some point for someone that is close to you. But he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, here it is. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By this, will all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, it's how we treat people. It's the respect that we have for people. It's not hard to respect people and treat people good that agree with us, is it? It's seriously, those are the people we want to cuddle up next to and hang around all the time, because they're just easy to be around. What Jesus is actually speaking to is the fact, this is the command. You want to look like me? Love the ones who are going to crucify me. Seriously. When Jesus went to the cross, not long after this, when Christ went to the cross, he did it for the ones putting the nails in his hands too. Get that picture? I'm going to the tree, and he said, no man takes my life. Remember, he said that. No man takes my life, but I lay it down. Can you imagine? What would he say to the, and I'm just being just outside the ring here a little bit, but what would he say to us if we were the ones putting the nails in his hands? Put it through. Put it through. Because you see, he loves us. He loves us immeasurably. But to love, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, you must love one another. By the way, I've been around long enough now. I'm only 56, but I've been around long enough. I've heard this phrase all my life. I'll show them love. I'll cram love down their throat. Oh, no, there you go. That's exactly the kind of genuine love that Jesus was talking about. I'll show them love. And I've told you the story about the guy in Kansas City at the plaza. How many are familiar with the Country Club Plaza, the shopping area? Y'all know the area? It's a great shopping area. I love to shop. I'm a weird male about that. I do love to actually shop. And so there's this guy standing on a milk carton out there with a speaker underneath him and a microphone very similar to mine. And he's preaching that you all are going to hell. I mean, he's doing the whole, y'all are going to hell if you don't change. And I'm holding Gina's hand. We're walking across the street. We're heading right towards him, and I hang a Louis. I hung a left, and I crossed the street. I said, I can't be near that. That's just not the Jesus that I know. You see, God has a plan for you and for me, and it's all based and deeply rooted in this amazing love. This amazing grace for you and for me. For every one of us, by the way, and we don't any of us deserve it. That's the good news. You want to know what the gospel is? I mean, what's the gospel mean? Well, I mean, what's the word gospel mean in Hebrew? Good news. Good news. Absolutely. We got good news. We stink, but he doesn't. We're bad. We don't deserve it, but God loves us. And he loves us, and he is more determined to get me to heaven than I am. Am I the only one that's... I said he's more determined to get me into his presence, because here's the truth. When we leave this world, it matters what we decided on this work, on this earth. It matters. It really does. I was on a plane not long ago with a young man, 19-year-old young man, self-proclaimed genius. I met him in the airport. He told me he was a genius. He actually told me he was a genius. And a 19-year-old, I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 19. He looked about 25, 26. I said, how old are you? He said, 19, but I'm smarter than most 19-year-olds too. I said, I actually believe that. And I meant that. I said, I actually believe that. You may be well smarter than me. Because, I mean, we got into this great conversation because he said, I'm just interested why an American would be here. And so here's the thing. We were in that airport, I know, for 3 hours. I had to be there for 3 hours before my flight. I won't go into why, but I had to be there in that airport for 3 hours. We talked the longest time. And he's an atheist, self-proclaimed atheist. And he said, I said, what are you, just because he asked me, are you religious? And I said, boy, I try not to be. I really try not to be. I run so far from religion. He said, me too. I said, no, I do. I said, no, I run to Jesus. And he did one of those head snaps, you know. I said, now I run to Jesus, but I run hard from religion. I said, my wife straightened me out about that religion thing a long time ago. Because I loved religion. Because I understood it. I knew who was going to heaven. I knew who was going to hell. Because I didn't do all those bad things. I was going to heaven. Remind me to tell you the story someday about the time I took our county executive, Joe Ortworth, down to the Assemblies of God headquarters. First time I'd ever been there in my life. But anyway, remind me someday, I'll tell you that story. Maybe I'll tell you today. I don't know. So we're in this great conversation, and I said, well, let me ask you something. What is God to you? He said, God is kind of an organism. I said, okay. Who created the organism? Is he a he, or is it an it? And he said, well, it. He said, I think it's an it. And so he's starting to describe, and he's going into, I said, man, you've lost me. So who is God? Who actually is God? And he said, oh, I am. And I said, okay. No, and I said, dude, I totally respect your right to believe that. See, I said, if I'm the best I got, I'm in trouble. And I always try and bring some level of humor into something like this so he doesn't think I'm making fun of him or rebuking him. And so I said, seriously, you ask my wife, she'll tell you it's impossible for me to be God. Because she has to live with me. And she knows I'm nowhere near God status. So he said, well, I think we're all our own God in some way, in deep some way. So we got into this great discussion. I said, buddy, what's your name? And he told me what his name was. I won't repeat it in case he ever hears this podcast. But I said, dude, I have such respect for you. You can articulate incredibly. For a 19-year-old young man, you can articulate incredibly. I just wish we had an opportunity, you know, to stay in contact with each other. I said, what seat are you sitting in on this plane? And he said, 25D. I said, yeah, I'm 25E. I called him my name. I said, do you think that's an accident? I don't know. Because now we got 4 hours on a plane. We got 4 hours on a plane. And so I really do respect his right to think what he thinks. But I came back to the teachings of Jesus. I always come back to Jesus. Because, listen, guys, we can lose people on a lot. Don't argue with people about God's word. They have the right not to believe it. We believe it, though. But what I stand on is this, and it's just a simple truth. Either Jesus is who he said he was, or he wasn't. And it really is simple. Either Christ is who he said he was, or he isn't who he said he was. It's a real simple thing. And I said that to him about 34,000 feet, because we were coming and we were descending into, where was it? Atlanta. I was coming into Atlanta. And he said, I'm just not sure. My father is this just in case Christian. I said, just in case what? Just in case there's a hell. I said, well, let me ask you something. What if just in case there's a heaven? Well, he said, I never thought about that. And I said, no, just in case there's a heaven, would you want to go there? Yeah, I suppose that's pretty good. You know, he said, he thought that through. And I said, me too. I really want to go there. I really want to be with my Father, because I happen to believe the teachings of Jesus. So I said, I want you to do this. I want you to go home, and I want you to read all the red in your Father's Bible, in the New Testament. Just read the red. Just read, start with that, the teachings of Jesus. And what I want you to ask yourself this question, because I'm going to be praying you discover truth. Whatever truth is, and I said these words, if you land on Hindu, if you land on Muslim, I don't care where you land, I just am asking you, and I do care, but what I said, it really doesn't matter. What I'm asking you to do is ask God to reveal truth to you. But I want you to read what Jesus said. And I said, I just simply want to say this, because it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong in this conversation. What matters is, was Jesus right? Y'all understand? Y'all get that? What matters is what Christ says, not what Barry says, not what your priest says. What matters is what Christ says. What does God's word say about a subject? And so I said, I want you to go home. I want you to read that and ask yourself this question. If I'm right, and his name began with A, if I'm right and Jesus is wrong, I'm okay. I lose nothing. Absolutely have nothing to lose then. If I'm right and Jesus is wrong. But here's the other question. If Christ is right and I'm wrong, I got everything to lose. Right? And he said, that is really good deductive reasoning. And I could tell it was just getting him. It just really grabbed him that this was just really good thinking. And he's a reasoner. You can tell. What's the word I'm thinking of? Analytical. He's very analytical. And so it's got to come. You see, you can speak about the heart of God and the passion of God and the love of Jesus Christ. You can talk about that all you want to with that individual. It won't pierce them. Analytical reasoning does actually get their attention. And it has to make some level of brainiac sense in some cases that Jesus actually makes sense to serve him. And they will serve him out of a less emotional service, and they will give their lives to Jesus Christ because it just makes sense. But can I tell you, we will never get there until we love them enough to respect their right to disagree with us. And I'll just give you a great example, a real quick example. I did have somebody call me one time, hey, Pastor Barry, what's that scripture about the second coming of Christ? You know, this guy believes in, and he told me what he believes. He's a post-trib guy. And I said, is he a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, he's a follower of Christ. Yeah. I said, then what are you going to do? Beat him over the head with it? You're going to argue to convince him to agree with you? I said, dude, let's not do that. The most important thing is that we know Christ. Okay. We know Christ. He's our north. Y'all get that, right? He is our north. And as long as Christ is our north, we can be wrong about a lot of other things. Seriously, that's what the Bible says. Except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And listen, Jesus said Matthew 7:2, he said, it's the bottom line is this, there's only one way to the Father. No man comes before the Father except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes before the Father except by me. Bottom line. That's what he said. So here's the truth. Jesus is the issue. And we give Christ by giving love. We get into conversations. I can't tell you how many, it's so funny. The more I respect people's right to be different than me, the more they want to talk. And that's the truth. The more you want to argue with them, the more they just want to argue. And really, we get nowhere. And it's actually a very lack of respect we show to others in their thinking. But I'm just being upfront with you and telling you, every time we choose to love somebody first. I actually had a lady tell me on a missions trip not long ago. She was having a real struggle. I'm going to close. But she was having a struggle. And a real struggle. And the first day of the trip, I was hosting this particular mission trip in Haiti. I'd never met this team before. They were out of Boston, Massachusetts area. And the first day, right after church, we were 1 hour out of the church service we had just left. And I took everybody to a cafe there. They could get their coffee. And it was also a fundraising opportunity for this cafe that supports single mothers there in Haiti trying to support their children. And I said, "Hey guys, we got to leave in about 10 minutes. And I'm just kind of getting everybody ready. And this lady looks at me and says, "I hate you. I don't like you. I don't like your voice. There's nothing about you I like. And by the end of this week, I am really going to hate your voice." Now, all of the 20 other two people on the team look just like you. And there's a guy across the table from this lady. I'm standing there next to her. And there's a guy across the table. I said, I didn't see him at first. His name's Jimmy. So anyway, "No, I love you. Don't be that." She says, "You can't love me. You don't even know me." That's how she said it to me. How many know that is a woman that is hurting? That's not about me. That's just deep wounds. And if I had the time to tell you the story that she told me on the following Thursday, you'd understand why she despised everyone in the world that had anything to do with church. Seriously. So then I look across the table. I pull my hand off of her back, and I see this guy across the table going like this. Don't mess with them. It was her brother. I didn't know. They were siblings. About 60 years of age, and he's going. And I didn't until she came back to me on Thursday to own how she treated me. And by the way, on Saturday when I dropped him off at the airport, I saw big tears, crocodile tears coming out of this lake, because I just after she came back to me, I was able to love on her and love on her. And I explained something to her. "Sweetheart, we love each other. We don't have to know each other. But I love you because God loves you." And that's what Jesus said. "You'll love everyone as I have loved you." And so we need to learn to love like Jesus. And Jesus was beaten and killed by people that hated him. So we don't argue. We don't contend for the gospel. We have a strong testimony. It's your own life. "Oh, this is what Christ has done in me. This is what my faith has done through Christ in me." And so it's our opportunity. I'm going to close. But it's our opportunity to say, "Lord, we're going to love people in the name of Jesus the way you love people." Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would absolutely, God, saturate us with your love. Teach us how to love people the way you love people. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Every believer said, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.